desire and interest in your prayer this evening. If it makes you nervous for me to get up here, you ought to be with me. I feel that I've been ministered to by the song service this evening. I feel that there's a message in those songs that it would behoove all of us to really get a hold of. I'm thinking tonight of a subject that I believe will be able to connect with all of us here tonight. There is the subject that I would like to talk about is the gospel. And I want to talk about a specific component of the gospel. We'll probably, what we say will probably be somewhat confrontational to some theology that's out there and some philosophy that's out there. I've found that there are many theologies in this world that gender confusion for the minds and the souls of mankind. But I'm not claiming to be the sharpest knife in the drawer, so I'm not going to tell you that I have some kind of intellectual thing that's going to just impress you here tonight. I looked up the definition of the word philosophy. A dictionary says it's the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered an academic discipline. I've done a lot of studying in my life on various things, but I would not consider myself an academic by any means. Philosophy really boils down to arguing both sides of a subject, a point of controversy. And if you get two people that are able to argue the opposite sides, the only thing that I could think that could come out of that would be confusion. If there's a point and you're coming from two opposite directions and you begin to debate and argue that, I believe the end result is just a turmoil if you're equally prepared and equally capable. Theology, on the other hand, is the study of the nature of God and religious belief. When we study the nature of God, I believe it's erroneous for us to start projecting predictions about what we think God would do. We can get ourselves in a lot of trouble by looking at God's mercy and God's judgment and then beginning to project our interpretation of what God ought to do in a particular situation. I'm interested in the practicality of being able to know what God wants of us, what He'll do for us, and who can access it. I'm a very, my trade has been very hands-on. It's been challenging physically and mentally down through the years. I have not changed trades. I've stayed in the same direction for close to 40 years, if you go back before I got out of school. My brother and I were working on people's automobiles before we got driver's license, so we've had an experience or two. And I'm interested in knowing practically how I put the things that I learn about my trade into use And I'm interested in knowing what the gospel will do for us as mankind. I think it's good to be able to have a understanding of maybe some abstract concepts. And we, over the years, I've got into several exchanges about how things work and what makes things happen the way they do in the mechanical fields, and maybe have got kind of worked up over that and got really animated about what was happening when and where and all of those things. And I'm telling you, I have learned a lot of things over the years that some of them has proved what I was saying and others have disproved it. I've learned a lot, I think, about how to live successfully for the Lord. But I'm human and have made my share of mistakes when it comes to understanding what the next step ought to be for me. This evening, I would like for us to begin in the scripture by turning to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse. It's a very common scripture. 2 Corinthians, 8th chapter and the 12th verse. It says here, "For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Some commentators feel that this is specifically talking about us contributing of our resources and financial means, and others seem to think that this is talking about a person that's coming to God with their spiritual needs. And I'd like to apply it this evening to those that have a spiritual need. And if you have a spiritual need here tonight, I want you to know that the first thing that's practically required for us is to be able to come with a willing mind. One that's willing to open ourselves up to the Lord's call. And I believe He has to call us. And I believe that I'll leave that for another message and another time. But He has to call us, and we have to know that He is speaking to our heart. But there has to be a willingness on our part. And if you're willing, and if you hear the call and know it's good to put yourself in an environment, in a setting where He can talk to you. So I'm glad that you're here tonight, not because I'm speaking, but because I believe that God can meet us here, and His presence has come down many times in these assemblies and spoke to hearts. So I believe this is a good decision to come to a place where God can speak to your heart. But if you're not willing, you're not going to have the access, and the work is not going to be able to be done. But if you're willing, folks, that's something that there's a lot of theology out there that will tell you in our world today that a willingness is not enough. You have to be of a select number or a select group. That's a theology that's out there. So it's my message tonight is to speak to your heart, but also to give understanding to our mind. You're going to face these kind of things, and there's intellectual people, there's intellectual institutions that will disrupt the fundamental practical application of the gospel. The gospel is that if you're willing, there's something that can be done in your heart. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and notice something here that Jesus is quoted as saying. So I believe that ought to be good for us. Let's go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I'll begin reading in the 28th verse. He says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, sin causes us to labor and to be under a heaviness and a burden. And there is a desire for every one of us to have freedom. Freedom to, maybe freedom means a little bit different to all of us. I like the freedom of living where I do. I like the freedom of the land behind my house. I like the freedom of knowing that I can come and go as I please. And I recently, I'll maybe say more about this later, but I recently experienced the quarantine thing, and it's pretty rough on me too. I just to stay in one place and know that if I went outside of my property, that it was not, the neighbor came over one time and I had to tell him, that's close enough, you can't come over any closer. That was odd for me, but he says here, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So there's an invitation and there's an opportunity from Jesus. That's who we need the word from, isn't it? That's who the gospel come. He came to prepare the gospel for mankind. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He gives a quick summary of what to expect when you take on his yoke and when you become a Christian here. But the point I want us to get from this scripture is that all of us have an invitation to come. That is theologically unique to some institutions and some people. For it to be presented to all mankind, it doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter what our lineage is, but it's extended to all of us. And folks, you know, the things that we have learned the hard way in life, we get pretty passionate about that. And I believe with all of my heart, and I'm very convinced tonight, that this gospel is available to every one of you. It's available to every one of mankind that has ever walked the face of the earth, and every will. And I'm unwilling to negotiate. If somebody wants to come and philosophize with me, I'll do my best to call them out and tell them I'm just not going down that path. There's no point in discussing that. My mind's made up. This is where I'm at. This is what I believe. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're here and you know that there is an element of conviction in your heart, and there's somebody that has, you've overheard some theology that is trying to convince you that maybe you're just not eligible for salvation, I want to tell you that's not what the scripture teaches us. I'm standing on this tonight that it's Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's extended to every one of us here. It's extended to our next door neighbors, to all of those out there that are suffering under the plight and the pandemic of sin. They can come to our Savior and experience the gospel and the deliverance. Every one of them. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, close to the very end of the scripture that we have in our hands, he says something very similar. John writing here, and he said, and the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit, the Bride, the church is saying, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever, all mankind. If you've been troubled in your mind tonight, I want you to know that there is erroneous theology out there today. There's erroneous philosophy out there that will cause you to feel that because you didn't match up and you're not of a certain number or a certain category or not specifically chosen, that you just might not be able to enter in. I want to tell you that's not what the Scripture says. It says, whosoever will, and all of us are eligible to be able to come to this throne of grace. When God is speaking to your heart, it's time to move, folks. Don't allow the theology that's out there in the world to distort you and to drag you off to one side, because the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to consume you and cause you to be confused in your mind. So I desire your prayers as we look into this a little further. I'd like to start looking at the point of what he'll do for us. So I'd like to begin in Matthew, the first chapter, and notice what happened to Joseph here. Matthew chapter 1, he says, beginning in verse 18, he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, and I'm sure there was a lot of thinking, there was a lot of distress in his mind over what was going on. And he says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This Jesus here is the same word that was used in the Old Testament. It's the same name as Joshua. It means Savior. It means Deliverer. He says here, thou shalt call his name Jesus. It was a common name among the Jews because everyone that had a son wanted their son to be Jesus, to be the Savior. But he says, this is the one. He says, calling Jesus, for he shall save his people, what does it say? From their sins. I want you to know that the gospel is a gospel of deliverance. It's not a gospel that is powerless. It's not a gospel that does something temporary for you. It changes your life. And if you're struggling today and you struggled in the past, don't give up. This is what Jesus came for, is to make you a different person. And the angel was speaking to Joseph. He said, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because he said this son that's going to be born is going to save his people from their sins. That was an angel speaking. You know, if an angel spoke to you, that'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? If I don't know. I feel like the Lord has spoken to me through the Scripture and give me impressions. But just an audible voice. I'm going to tell you, it would be a life-changing event if an angel spoke to you. But let's go now to the 8th chapter of St. John and notice what John records Jesus as saying. It says here in John chapter 8 and beginning in verse 31. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to those that were entertaining, listening to Jesus. And he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I'm really not sure why they said that, because at the current time they were not a free nation. But anyway, that's beside the point. Jesus wasn't talking about political freedom anyway. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You realize that? If you're in a place where you're doing something, knowingly transgressing God's plan for your life and your His plan for mankind, that's sin. He says, and once you commit sin, you become a servant of it. It's something that has an appetite within itself. I might not be able to do this everywhere, but I've burned a lot of rubbish at my place. And if you take a big stack of cardboard, even if there is no wind, if it's perfectly calm, and you get that thing going, there is something about a fire that creates the heat rising. We could go into a lot of explanation, but we won't. The heat rising causes an undercurrent of fresh air to come at the bottom. And you'll see that fire, it's like it creates its own breeze and its own wind. And it can really become very hot because of that. Sin is like that. Once you start down the path of sin, it seems to create and open avenues and opportunities for more sin. Jesus said, if you commit sin, you're a servant to it. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the gospel. When the gospel comes into your heart and life, it's to make you free. It's to deliver you. It's to change your life. This is what Jesus said. Paul said something similar in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 through 21. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul became a different person. Would you agree? He became totally different than he was before. Tonight, there's theology out there that tells you that when you come to the Lord, it really doesn't deliver you. That would be one of the most disappointing and discouraging things to ever embrace. I feel so sad for someone that would embrace that thought, that I can come not knowing if I really line up to be an acceptable candidate or not. And then to know that the gospel that they teach me doesn't really deliver me. I've told you what I've done for my life's work, temporally. And all of you here, if you were to have me to work on your automobile, I think that you would be very dissatisfied if I took it all apart and sorted all the pieces out and put it all back together and tell you it's just like it was. That thing that you brought it to me for, that symptom, it's just like it was. But you just go on down the road, and every time that it bumps, you just hold on to the steering wheel real tight, or you just keep going. I think it'll get you where you're going. You would not be happy at all. It's very important to, in my line of work, to find the problem and deliver that mechanical thing of the problem. That's how I've kept a job. And folks, that's how we're going to get into heaven. Is to be delivered. That's what the gospel message is about. Is to be delivered. And I'm just as emphatic about this as I am the point that all of us have an opportunity and access to the throne of grace. It's a theological point, if you will. I'm unwilling to debate this. If you want to debate it with somebody else, you could wear them out. But I'm not interested. This is where I'm at. I'm answering your question tonight. The gospel message is a gospel of deliverance. When you come to the Lord, you're coming to be set free from being a servant of sin. When you come to the Lord, you're coming to a place that empowers you to be different, to be a new creature. Please hear me tonight. Don't go down the path of entertaining something that would cause you to wonder of whether you can be delivered or not. What good would it be? I like the idea of being set free from some kind of bondage. I know people in my own personal life. I'm thankful that I've known these people that have been delivered from awful habits of tobacco and alcohol, things that it's just like, it's like that fire that just keeps sucking them in. And yet the power of the gospel has delivered them. And they're different now. And you can be different now. If you've had some kind of addiction, I want you to know the gospel is plain and simple. It's a gospel of deliverance. It's not a gospel that pats you on the back and tells you to go on and you'll be all right. It's different. You can be a different creature. Jesus read the Old Testament to his home folks over here in Luke, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. Went back to his Nazareth, the place where he had been raised as a young boy, and he got up in the synagogue and he began to read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, beginning here in verse 17 of Luke 4. He says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Oh, and there's so much hope in that. Isn't there so much promise in that? For you to know that you can come to a God that has deliverance for you. This is not coming and just wondering if... Have anybody here had somebody work on your car? And you got it back and it was just like it was when you took it. Oh, that's discouraging. On both sides of the fence. If I thought I fixed it and it's happened more than once, and it comes back and it's like it's doing the same thing. So here we go again. You know, here's what my practice has been. I want somebody, you just demonstrate to me what it's doing. And I have to communicate to them a level of assurance. I am not giving up until we fix this. We're going to resolve this. I've seen relief spread over many people's face when you can give them that kind of assurance. And I want to give you this assurance tonight. If you've come to the Lord, thought that you had it, and realize I still got some symptoms, would you come back? I want you to know the gospel is a gospel of deliverance. It's a gospel that will change your heart. It will change your life. It will make you a new man and a new creature. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't allow yourself to adopt an attitude of, I don't think anybody can fix this. You know, there's people out there that that don't believe in mechanics. I'd like to try to change their mind sometime, but maybe I couldn't. You know, I believe that God can change your mind about your problems. I believe God can change your heart to where you know I'm free, I'm different. The gospel, I believe, delivers mankind from all kinds of degradation that sin drags us down into. It's a gospel that, you know, if you hear somebody say it's a gospel message and it doesn't offer deliverance, it's not the gospel. Plain and simple. It's not the gospel. The gospel offers deliverance. Please, dear ones, my appeal to you is very simple, it's very basic, it's very practical, and it's down to earth. The gospel is open to you tonight, whoever you are. And here's the simple truth of the gospel. If you come with your baggage, you can unload it. And you can get up and be a new man and a different creature. Dear ones, these are points that I'm unwilling to compromise on. If you got a different view, don't bother. I'm not listening. This is what I believe the Scripture says. I want you to know it'll work. It's worked in the past. It'll work for you tonight. And it'll work for the generations in the future. You pray for me.